Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
That Genesis chapter number 3. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning out of this chapter. And a very, very interesting chapter is Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3 changes the course of history and humanity whenever we study it out. Of course, we know it's the first sin that is ever committed. We find in Genesis chapter number 3. And I want to talk to you a little bit out of this morning. You pray for us today that God would help us anytime you get on the devil's turf, he don't like it. And you pray that God would help us and give us understanding of the Word of God today. And you know something, if we're not careful, we will, Dad and I was actually talking about this last night, we will major on the minors and minor on the majors. We'll get caught up on when this happened or that happened. The main thing is this: it happened. Are you with me? It happened. And I want to look at a few things today. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. We'll look at this and see what we can learn. The Bible said in Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, and of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband." And he gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Father, I love you this morning. God, you know the need of the service today, and I pray, God, that you would help us as we look into your word. I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd help us to preach and say exactly, God, what you would have us to say. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to preach nothing out of context. Help us to say nothing out of context, God. I pray, Lord, that only the words, Father, that you would want to be uttered from my mouth over the next few minutes would be the only words that would come about it, God. Lord, put a bridle about us today, God. Lord, I don't want to say nothing out of your will, Father. I want you to be pleased with everything that's said. God, Father, if you don't want me to, Father, even get above a monotone voice today, God, that's just fine. I just want to be pleasing to you, God. We'll be careful to give you the praise, save that sinner closest to hell. God, no doubt there may be one here today, Father, that's in a backslidden state, and I pray, God, that you would bring them back close to you again today. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. And amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look into these verses. I really don't even have a title today for what I want to talk to you about, but we're looking at Satan and sin, how it entered into the world and the agenda that Satan had for that. We live in a society today that a lot of times we, and stay with me right here. I'm not, if you believe this, that's on you. I'm not going to argue with you about it, but we live in a society today of witch hunters and man, ghost tours and haunted houses. And you said, "Preacher, what do you think about ghosts?" Well, I believe in the Holy Ghost. Somebody give me a witness right there. But what do you think about all of that? I personally don't believe in ghosts, okay? I do believe in a demonic world, though. I do believe that there is demons out of hell and Satan that's walking to and fro in the earth today, seeking whom he may devour. And we even see that in the book of Job. This week, Brother Jonathan Bass and I was going to record some podcasts, and we'd usually done it in my office, and Miss Leslie was going to be working in her office. So we decided to move everything down to one of the other rooms in the Sunday school wing. We've got a small PA system that we use to record all that. But anyway, we moved it down there, set everything up, and whenever we put our headphones on, we use headphones to record with. Whenever we put headphones on, there was just this weird sound in it. And I told Brother Jonathan, I said, that's never been in this before. We changed every one of the microphones. We changed the mic cords. We plugged into different outlets because a lot of times sound issue is ground issue. So we plugged into different outlets. We run a drop cord all the way from over here on this side over to that side. And we still had that just weird sound that would come and go. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to record with that sound in it. I can't stand a podcast that don't have good sound quality. I'm not going to listen to one. I said, I wouldn't listen to this if it had to. I said, we've got to do something different. He said, well, I guess we'll just have to go back to your office and set up an it. So we carried everything back down there, set everything back up down there, put our headphones on, and it was gone. There was no sound at all in my office. It was completely gone. And he said, you know what? That's what a lot of people use is as a sound to ghost hunt. There is waves in the air, and that's what they use. And he said, preacher, what do you think about all of that? I don't think that there is ghosts, but I do think that there is demons, and I do think that Satan has an agenda to destroy our lives. He has an agenda to destroy our lives. I want to show you two or three things this morning about Satan and about the Word of God and about sin and the consequences of allowing Satan to rule our life. Number one this morning, I want you to look at this with me, and I'm probably going to slow down a lot today and actually teach more than I preach. And I hope that's all right. But number one, I want you to look at the conquest of Satan. What did Satan want to accomplish right here? Whenever we look back at and we know that Satan had a beginning. And the only one that never had a beginning and will never have an end is God, amen? And we know that Satan is a created being according to the Word of God. We can go to Ezekiel. We can also go to Isaiah chapter number 14. And we can see that about Satan today. Satan was created by God. Satan was one of the archangels. Satan was a very predominant, or if you want to say it this way for understanding, a very popular angelic being in heaven. Matter of fact, whenever you study him out and you study the Word of God out, you'll find out that Satan was over the music in heaven. There came a time that Satan rose up against God. Son of the morning, that's what his name means. And he rose up against God one day in heaven. And whenever he rose up against God in heaven, God cast Satan out of heaven and created a place called hell. And according to the Word of God, hell was created for the devil and his angels. Hell was not created for you. Hell was not created for me. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. God said, if you want your own kingdom, I'll give you your own kingdom. Now, it's interesting to note that the Bible said that it was created for the devil and his angels. How many angels is there today? I don't know. I do know this, that in Revelations we read that there is 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So if you want to look at it that way, there's at least 24,000, thousands of thousands and 10,000s times 10,000. There's a lot of them. But the Bible said this, that the devil, hell was created for the devil and his angels. You also study the Word of God, you'll find this out in Revelation, that he took a third of the angels in heaven with him when he left heaven. Satan was sly enough. Satan was convincing enough. Are you hearing me this morning? to convince a third, at least 8,000, if not more, and probably more, but at least 8,000 angels to leave the portals of heaven and go with him to hell. The conquest of Satan. What was the conquest of Satan? The conquest of Satan was this: to pull those out of heaven and defy God and take over his kingdom. But the problem was this: Satan will never be able to do that. So since Satan realized, I cannot defeat God, then Satan decided that he would try something else. A lot of people get caught up right here, and I'm just going to hit this in passing. Hope you'll stay with me. I know I'm preaching different this morning, but I hope you'll stay with me. I'm headed somewhere. When was Satan cast out of heaven? I personally believe it was before creation. I believe it's before Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Some don't. I personally do. That's another whole discussion within itself. The main thing is this: he's out of heaven. We know that. So now Satan realizes, I cannot defeat God. I cannot get God to bow to me. I can take at least 8,000 plus with me out of heaven. There was created beings, but I can't get God to bow to me. God creates heaven and earth. Matter of fact, all throughout Genesis 1, he says it is good. And he ends up concluding Genesis 1 this way: and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God creates it. We go into chapter number 2, and man is created in chapter number 2. And God says that he is pleased with that, that it was good, that he was happy with that. And according to the Bible, God created man what? In his own image. In the likeness of God made he man. He created man in the likeness of God when he created Adam and Eve in the garden. Now watch this. Nowhere in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 do we find Satan attacking anything that God had created. He never attacks the animals. He never attacks the plant life. Are you hearing me this morning? I hope you'll stay with me. He never attacks the plant life. He never attacks the trees. He never attacks the grass. He never attacks the mountains. He does not attack anything that God has created. But all of a sudden, in the closing of chapter number 2, God makes something in his own image. God makes something in his likeness. And what was it? It was man. Chapter 3 rolls around, and when chapter 3 rolls around, you know what happens in chapter number 3? All of a sudden, Satan appears on the scene. Satan appears through the vessel, if you want to put it that way, of a serpent. The animal of a serpent. Satan couldn't appear to Adam and Eve on his own. Satan couldn't talk to Adam and Eve on his own. Satan had to have something to lend their body to him. And Satan beguiled the serpent into allowing him to use him to talk to Adam and Eve. Two things about that real quick, and I'm going to keep moving. Satan always uses another tool. Don't let yourself be the tool Satan uses. Satan, through the serpent, comes up and begins to talk to Adam and Eve. I believe what the Bible says, he talks to them. Are you with me this morning? He talks to them. I believe that the serpent actually, we know this, was not crawling, because the serpent's curse was to crawl upon the ground the rest of its days. The serpent is talking, and the serpent is not crawling when we're introduced to it. Because they lent themselves to Satan, the serpent was cursed after that in Genesis chapter number 3. But watch this. Satan begins to beguile Eve. What was the conquest of Satan? Now, I can't make God bow to me, but God has made something in his image. If I can get something in his image to bow to me, I've practically got God to bow to me. So what does Satan do? He begins to attack humanity. Right out of the gate, right as soon as man is created, as soon as man starts living in a perfect environment, what does Satan do? Satan attacks mankind. And can I tell you something today? His conquest is still the same. It's not that Satan is simply after you. Satan is after God. And in getting you to bow to his temptation, in getting you to reject the Savior's plan of salvation, in getting you to do the things that's contrary to the Word of God, Satan is accomplishing the conquest he set out to do. Watch this with me. There's three times Satan appears in the Bible. Genesis chapter number 3. He appears before man, the creature, and God the creator. And he walks away delighted. Why? Because man fell to him. In Job chapter number 1, Satan appears again before God the creator and accuses man, the creature, and once again walks away delighted. Why? Because God allowed Satan to attack Job. But the third time we see Satan appearing is in Matthew chapter number 4. This time he meets the creature and the creator at the same time. He meets Jesus Christ, the God-man. And here he accuses the written word to the incarnate word. And that day he walks away defeated. Why? Because Jesus defeated Satan that day. And even though the conquest of Satan is to destroy your life, and in getting you to bow to him, he practically is showing God, I can take what you made in your own image and make them bow to me. Jesus that day defeated Satan. Number one, I see the conquest of Satan, but number two, I see the course of sin. You see, Satan's ultimate goal has always been to get us to sin. Preacher, what is sin? Well, the Bible says this, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is not doing what we're supposed to do. Now, stay with me, okay? Don't nobody get mad at me. I'm just going to give you the Word of God. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together with the believers. We know based on the authority of God's Word. Now, you ought to say amen because you're sitting in church this morning. We know based on the authority of God's Word, we're supposed to go to church. When we don't go to church, we sin. Amen, Brother Jonathan. I've already mentally prepared myself for no amens this morning, okay? I taught on tithing in Sunday school, and now I'm preaching on Satan. Maybe I'll make it back tonight. Think about this with me. We know what we're supposed to do. We know what we're not supposed to do. We know how we're... Hey, look, it's Surrey County. That you can't sling a dead cat from right here without hitting 14 other churches. We know what it is. And sin is this, when we do not do what we know we're supposed to do, it's sin. It's sin. Think about this, the course of sin. Satan's whole scheme is this, if I can get man to sin, I can accomplish what I want done. I thought about this. There's steps that Satan uses in Eve's life to get her to sin. Verses number 1 through 5, he gets Eve to listen to him. In verse number 6, he gets her to look at the forbidden fruit. While Eve was listening to the serpent and looking at the fruit, she saw that it was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise. The third step is this. He causes her to lust for the food. He causes her to lust for the food. If Satan can ever get you to lend your ear to him, if he can ever, you know what? You don't need to be faithful to church. It's all right. You can worship God at home. You can worship God at home. I worship God at home on a daily basis. Somebody give me an amen right there. But that don't change the fact that God told me to go to the house of God. That don't change the fact that, like I taught this morning in Sunday school, that God give me a designated place to bring my tithes and offerings to and a designated amount to put in for my tithes. That does not change the fact. That does not change the fact. You said, preacher, what are you doing? You began listening to Satan. Your wife don't love you like she used to. Your husband don't love you like he used to. Somebody give me an amen right there. They don't look at you like they used to. Somebody help the preacher. 23 years ago today, besides getting saved, Leslie got the greatest thing that ever happened to her, and that was me. 23 years ago today. And 23 years of marriage. We needed something to laugh about a little bit. In 23 years of marriage, you know what? There's times, Brother Lloyd, that the devil crawls up on my back and goes, she don't love you no more. She don't. I'm talking about the course of sin. Where does it all start out? She don't love you no more. She don't love you no more. Did you see her look at that guy that went down the road right then? Am I the only one? Now, somebody help me this morning. You ladies, if you're honest within yourself, the devil will crawl up on your back and he'll say, your husband don't love you no more. Your husband don't care about you no more. Your husband don't look at you the way he used to. Your husband's looking at that other woman over there or that other woman over there. Your husband's this, your husband's that. It's all where Satan starts is getting you to listen to him. He got her to listen. Then he got her to look. He got her to look. Then we can go all the way back to the life of David. David was the anointed king of Israel. And there come a time in David's life that the Bible says it just like this. At the time when kings go forth to battle, David tarried still at Jerusalem. Something caused David to sit at the house when he was supposed to be on the battlefield. He listened to something that caused him to sit there. And you know what he ends up doing? He ends up walking out on his rooftop in evening tide and sees a woman bathing herself and looks. Does it hurt to look? Let's ask David if it hurt to look that day. I've heard so many men make this statement. Well, there's nothing wrong looking at the menu. You look at the menu long enough, you're going to order something off of it. I don't pick up a menu, matter of fact, Brother Andy, unless I got intents of ordering something. Satan, the course of sin, his conquest is to get you to sin. How does he do that? Listening, looking, and then what happened? She lusted after it. She said, I've got to have that. She said, I've got to have that. After Eve listened, looked, and lusted, she partook of the forbidden fruit. And can I say this? She lost. She lost. She lost. Immediately the eyes of them both were opened. Young people, listen to me this morning. The devil will try to bar your ear and whisper in your ear that the way mom and daddy's went to church, the way the preacher preaches, it's all a hoax. You don't have to be faithful to church. You can just go whenever you want to. He starts by talking to you. It's where it all started right there. And you know what you'll find yourself doing? You'll find yourself looking at a far country. You'll find yourself thinking about a far country. And before it's long past, you'll find yourself lusting after that. And you'll partake of it and you'll be just like Eve. You'll be the loser in the long run. You'll be the loser in the long run. I thought about this. If Satan could ever get you to listen to him, he will soon have you looking and lusting just as he did Eve. Then once you begin listening, looking, lusting, it'll not be long that you'll lose also. Where did it all start at? It started at this, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let me show you one more thing, and I'm done this morning. I see this. I see the conquest of Satan, the course of sin, but then I see the consequences of sinning. the consequences of sinning. You've heard me say this a million times. Every choice has a consequence. Every choice has a consequence. Every choice. Every choice that you make. I remember back several years ago, I was preaching at Brother Greg Whitthrow's church in Marion, North Carolina. Brother Greg said, he knew I loved to hunt. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, man, bring your gun. He said, bear season's in. And he said, we'll try to get on a bear hunt one morning. And I said, man, that sounds great. And I'm the type. I'm still this way. It's one reason I don't bear hunt near as much as I used to, Brother Josh. But I can't stand just to ride around in the truck and listen to the radio, what everybody's saying is going on in the woods. If I'm going to go, praise God, I'm going in the woods. I'm packing dogs. I'm going deep, man. I'm going in the woods. I got to be where the action's at. And I said, man, that sounds great. So I got my stuff together, got my backpack together, and got everything. And we got up early that morning, man, like 3:30, 4 o'clock that morning. And we went over and we stopped at McDonald's and grabbed a biscuit. And then we met up with the guys. And one of them said this, look, we're gonna walk this old road back up into the top of the mountain. We're going to drop off the backside of the mountain. They saying that there's some bear sign back up in there. And he said, I need somebody to go with me to pack back in there and to walk the dogs back in. Right here, I'm your guy. I'm going. Backpack on, gun throwed across my back, 14 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Because peanut butter will stick to your ribs when you're in the middle of nowhere. You say, how you know? Because I've been in the middle of nowhere a lot of times in places like that. Peanut butter, jelly sandwiches, beanie weenies. My backpack usually weighs about 42 pounds just with the food I got in it. By 10 o'clock that morning, we had still not even come close to making it to the top of that road and dropping off in the laurel thicket that we was going to go through. By 10 o'clock, I'd done eat 14 of them 17 sandwiches and every one of the beanie weenies I had. I'd done drunk all the water that I had. And by the time we got to the top and dropped off the other side and turned the dogs loose, I was about dead. So you look on the GPS tracking system where you mark this and you mark that, and you thought, oh, no, we're in trouble. I'll never forget, man, we come off the backside. I can still take you to the place on 221 in Marion where we come out at the that parking. What's that cement thing that you roll up on? Curb. That parking curb that I sat down on and eat a ham and cheese sandwich that was dripping with mayonnaise. And I hate mayonnaise. But that day I loved it. It was the best ham and cheese I ever ate. There's another time we come off a mountain like that, and an old man was sitting there in a truck, and I don't know who he was. I called him an angel from God, and he had bear liver sandwiches. Oh, you ought to try it. You hike 427 miles and run out of peanut butter and jelly 7 hours ago. I lapped it up like a poodle dog, praise God. I thought when we started off, I did eat bear liver, praise God, and I'd eat it again if I was in the same situation. We started off backside, and I thought, man, you dummy. What was you thought? We hadn't struck on nothing. We were still leading dogs. You're supposed to turn dogs loose when you find a track. We ain't found no track to turn dogs loose. We still leading 20 dogs up the side of the mountain, it felt like. Consequences. I was the one that chose to do that. Are you? I was the one that chose to do that. Every choice you make has a consequence. Satan's desire, will you start playing this off? Satan's desire is this, that your life is destroyed. But the only way your life will ever be destroyed is if you choose for it to be destroyed. Did you just catch what I said? Don't believe Flip Wilson. The devil may try to make you do it, but you've got to allow him to. And his conquest is this, Miss Shannon, for your home. Y'all been married, what, 35 years? 26? I knew y'all was older than us. He said, it feels that way. I'd knock him out. He made the choice to say it. Let him suffer the consequences. Oh, he didn't say that. Maybe I made that up. Look, God loves you both. Help them, Lord. But Satan's desire is to destroy your home. But I want you to hear me this morning. And I guess you just picked the wrong place to sit today. It's where y'all, it's his fault. Just like Eve, ain't it? Satan made me do it. I mean, it just crinkles right down. The only way your home will ever be destroyed is if you allow it to be. The only way you'll ever cheat on your wife is if you do it. The only way you'll ever cheat on your husband is if you do it. The consequence of it. And what's going to happen when that happens is this. There's going to be two young ladies that's watched you stand and teach, watched you serve God their whole life, that's going to go, is God really even real? You say, preacher, my sin only affects me. My sin only affects me. Really? The reason we're in the mess we're in is because of Adam and Eve. For by one man, sin entered into the world. It only affects me. Let's go talk to Samson a little while. Let's look at the consequences of sin in Samson's life. Everybody says this, well, preacher, the hair of Samson's head began to grow again. God touched him again at the end of his life. You're exactly right, but you know what? He never got his sight back. He never got his sight back. He lost his sight in that whole conquest right there. He lost his sight. He never got that back. Yeah, his hair began to grow again. God did touch him one more time, but he never got his sight back. Let's talk to David a minute. Let me back up. Let's talk to Moses a minute. Let's talk to Moses a minute. God chose Moses to lead his children out of Israel or out of Egypt to the promised land of Canaan. God chose Moses to do that. Moses was told to smite the rock one time so water would come out. Moses got mad and smote the rock twice. God gave him a direct commandment, do it one time. And done it twice. In that, he corrupts the picture of that rock as being a picture of Calvary. Christ being smitten once, and from him flowed the blood that saved us from our sins. And because he done what God said not to do, that sin, you know what happened to Moses? He got to stand upon a mountain and look at Canaan's land, but he never got to enter Canaan's land. Did it cost him something? I'd say it did. Let's talk to David. Let's pull a chair up. Let's pull a chair up and talk to David this morning. If we could pull David out of heaven and let him sit before us today, let's ask him about the consequences. David, did it bother anybody but you? David ends up killing Uriah. The blood of Uriah is on the hands of David. Ends up having Uriah killed. And after that, the baby that Bathsheba's pregnant with dies. After that, you know what ends up happening a couple chapters over? But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. Amnon's the son of David. Tamar's the daughter of David. And you know what Amnon ends up doing? Amnon ends up making himself sick and bringing Tamar in, thinking that she's going to take care of her brother. And Amnon ends up raping Tamar. You hearing me preach this morning? Ends up raping Tamar. David's kids now. Tamar's life is ruined now. It's ruined now because of the sin of her brother. Because of the sin of her daddy. Let's fast forward a little bit. Absalom hears about it. You can go home and read all this in 2 Samuel. Absalom hears about it, which is David's other son. You know what Absalom does? Absalom ends up killing Amnon because of what he did to Tamar. Let's ask David if it bothered anything to have a one-night stand. Well, now he's got a kid that's dead, that's a baby. Now he's got a kid that's raped his other kid. Now he's got a kid that's killed one of them kids. Now he's got a daughter that has a mental issue, no doubt about it, because of the sin that's been committed against her. Now let's fast forward a little bit and let's watch Absalom try to overtake David's kingdom and take his wives and sleep with them on the rooftop for all of Israel to see, a mockery to the sin that his daddy committed. Anybody hearing the preacher this morning? Let's ask David if it bothered anything. Now let's fast forward. Absalom's dead. David's fixing to die. Solomon is supposed to take over the kingdom. 1 Kings chapter number 1. And you know what ends up happening? Another son of David rises up and tries to overtake the kingdom in 1 Kings chapter number 1, chapter number 2. And on his deathbed, he ends up blessing Solomon. And Solomon becomes king. I'm talking about the consequences of sin. It does cost something. And it affects more than you. It affects more than you. It affects more than you. What's the whole conquest of Satan today? That right there. That right there. Here's what's said so many times, and I'm done, but here's what's said so many times. Preacher, I just got to sow my wild oats. I got to go try some things for myself. Be not deceived. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this: sow your wild oats, but they're coming up. They're coming up. I talked to numerous people this week. It was just one of those weeks where it was every day I ended up talking to somebody, having appointments to talk to people. It's just one of those weeks. And one of them that I talked to, all of them that I talked to, is serving the Lord and in church now. One of them that I talked to began to talk about the consequences of things in the future because of something in the past. They're right with God. They love God. They're serving God. There's not a doubt in my mind about that. But there are some heavy consequences, son. It's coming down the road for them. And there's nothing they can do about it now because of a choice that was made at a wrong time when they listened to a lie, began to look and lust, and now they've lost. Young people, I wish you'd listen to me this morning. I've had so many to sit in my office and say, preacher, I'd give anything to go back to my youth and redo some things. I'd give anything to have not done this, this, and this. It was not worth it. It's the worst decisions I've ever made in my life. And Brother Josh, you tell young people that and they just laugh at you. Just go on their merry way. But there's coming a day. It all ended for Samson. It all ended for David. It all ended for Adam and Eve. It come to an end. There came a day. And that day will come. And be sure your sin will find you out. I want to ask you this. I promise you I'm done. It's 5 minutes after 12. I'm done. If God, think about this right here. And I know I've said it before, but I want you to really think about it. If God hated sin so much that he let his son go to Calvary and have his bowels gush from within and be beat beyond recognition. Psalms 22 says his bones stare. If God hated sin that much, Brother Scotty, that he let his son go through that, why do we think we can sin in it? So I'm telling you, payment day for sin will come in your life. We can just live our, oh, I'll just do this, I'll just do that. I'm telling you, the payment day will come. Consequences will come. We'll go read in Joshua. Go read in Joshua about that man that took of the accursed thing. And they stoned him, his wife, and his kids. I bet David would say today, I'd give anything if I could have took everything that happened to my kids away. The thing is this, it may not happen to you. God may judge your sin on somebody else that you're close to. Father,